We are working our way through Paul's letter to the Colossians, and in connection with that, Mark requested that we also read a short passage from Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. So we'll start with that. If you don't have your own Bible with you, we do have some in the shelves at the back there that you're welcome to use. And if you are using one of those Bibles, you'll find Isaiah chapter 5 on page 533. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And then Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14. Again, if you're using one of our Bibles, page 924. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Good morning, church. Good to be with you this morning as we gather around the Word, but also just so exciting to see new members come forward. How many times can you see two Antons joined at the same time? And it's really good. The world's not ready for two Antons, I reckon. No, it's great to see. It's great to see everybody joining this morning, and also as we gather together around God's Word and continue in our time together in the book of Colossians. A great book, a great opportunity to realize what God is doing in a church that Paul never met. But he prays for them, and we're going to see that prayer this morning, and I hope that will encourage all of us here to pray even more for one another. If you don't have an outline, there was one available. There might be some on the back. If you'd like to follow along with an outline, if that helps you, that's great. In 1985, I earned my amateur radio license and became a ham radio operator. My call sign was KA4VNW. So there you go. To qualify, I learned some basic electronics. I learned to operate a radio. And then I also learned to transmit and receive Morse code at the stunning rate of 5 words a minute. That's very slow, by the way, very slow. I took a night class to learn the basic electronics and radio operations, and thankfully my dad helped me to practice the Morse code to pass the speed test that they have before you can be licensed. In today's passage, Paul wrote to the Colossians that they were given a new qualification, and we'll hear more about that, and they are given a new identity. Now, unlike the way I earned my ham radio qualification, the saints at Colossae and us here today receive the new qualification and the new identity as a gift. Only the power, only the grace, only the mercy of the Father and His beloved Son achieved our qualification. We did not, we cannot earn God's gift, that precious, life-changing connection that we have with Him through Jesus Christ. So we're going to start at the end of the section that we're looking at this morning. So verses 12 to 14 is where we're going to start, where Paul gives thanks for the gift. He thanked the Father as the giver of the saints' new qualification. And then we'll look at verses 9 to 11, so the beginning of the passage that we read this morning, and see how we grow in that gift. Knowing that God is the giver reassures us that He qualifies us and He keeps His saints through our ongoing connection to Him. Okay, so let's first look at that first point. Let's look at verses 12 to 14 where we see God, that we give thanks for the gift. Now, most gifts come with a card or a gift tag, right? You get a birthday gift, you get a Christmas gift, whatever. They come with a card or a gift tag. Now, they can be funny or they can be very serious and solemn. But almost always, those things, the gift tag or the card, they indicate who the gift came from, who's giving it to you. So when you receive the card or the tag in our home, you must read them before you open the gift, okay? You must do it. Because you want to thank the right giver of the gift. Paul wants the saints to do the same. So look at verse 12. Here's what he says. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, in earlier sermons, we heard back in verse 4 that there is a hope laid up for us in heaven. But here we're told the hope is an inheritance of the saints in light. Now, some may think that sounds a bit churchy, sort of a pie in the sky, you know, someday we'll see heaven kind of thing. But Paul uses the word inheritance. You know what an inheritance is, right? Something that someone is given because they're part of the family. See, in other words, the Father qualifies us, the saints, for the hope of inheritance by making us His family, making us His children. Relationship with our Father is the gift that He gives us, that He qualifies us to be part of the family. But there's more, because Paul begins to start showing a contrast here, just to help us to understand what are we talking about. Our inheritance is with His saints in light, and verse 13, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. See, when our Father gave us this new relationship, He also changed, as it were, our surroundings. He moved us. He delivered us from the domain of darkness, and now we are saints in light. Very different, right? Darkness and light, they don't exist together. See, every saint must grasp this reality. We are not to live in the darkness. Darkness is no longer our home. Our Father has delivered us from the darkness. Because the evil deeds of darkness are under God's judgment. If you want to read more about that, places like John 3, where Jesus talks about salvation, but He goes on, after He talks about the love of God, He says those who are not believing are in darkness. They're under condemnation from God. You see, the rescue by our Father is part of the gift as well. But there's more. Paul reveals our new status. We were in the domain of darkness, but our Father, verse 13, tells us we have been transferred, moved, transported. Michael and I were geeking out about this, you know, Star Trek, you know, transported to another place, transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So the saints, our gift from the Father, is not just a change of surroundings, not just a rescue, but our status is now citizen of the beloved kingdom of the Son. The Son's beloved kingdom. We are now in that kingdom. Citizenship is a gift from our Father also. So for the sake of clarity, okay, we've learned a few things here. There is a relationship that's been changed and given to us. There is a rescue that's been accomplished. And then now we're in a citizenship situation, a new place. And those all three things happen in this gift. They are linked. They don't come apart. They don't come in pieces. They don't come in stages. When you're given the gift, all of that's true. It's one huge gift that every saint is given. And it's the common experience of every saint. All the saints of God can call God their Father. Each saint needed to be delivered. None of us were anything less than rebels, and then God rescues. And every saint calls Jesus King. Paul then takes Jesus, that kingship of Jesus, the beloved Son, and he puts flashing lights around the person and work of Jesus. He says, the Father's beloved Son, you want to know who he is? Verse 14, the one in whom we have redemption, the one in whom we have forgiveness of sin. Now, most earthly kings, you might have noticed, or presidents, they want every citizen to serve and fight and die for them. Our King, beloved of the Father, served the will of his Father by giving his life to redeem his people from slavery to sin. Then, after paying our redemption from slavery, that is, that rescue from the domain of darkness, he forgave our sin. Think about it. Your sin and my sin is rebellion against an infinitely holy God. In any earthly kingdom, kings put rebels to death. However, our King, beloved of the Father, he died for rebels. He forgave our sin, and he gave us citizenship. That's why the saints give thanks to the Father for the greatest gift of all, King Jesus. Okay. So all the saints here thank the Father for the gift. Thanks God for Jesus. Now what? Now what? Do we put a King Jesus bumper sticker on our car? You know, do we take that citizenship certificate and frame it and put it on our mantle? Citizen of the Kingdom of Heaven? Do we wear a Child of the Heavenly Father t-shirt? You know, is that what we're meant to do now that we have these great gifts from God? Is Christ Jesus a gift that we honor with trinkets? Is that why our Father gave his beloved Son? No. Absolutely not. You see, we need to grow in the gift that God gave. We need to grow in it. And let's talk about that. So over 40 years ago is when I got my amateur radio license, if that helps you to figure out how old I am. Now, I've not kept up my Morse code, so I could not even do 5 words a minute. That's sad. I've not kept my registered call sign. That's long since gone. I just remember it. And my license is expired. Sadly, I can no longer call myself a ham radio operator. Why? Well, because my qualifications lapsed, and I stopped using what I had learned. Okay, so I've been a Christian for over 50 years. That may help you understand how old I am even further. I know these great truths that we've just discovered and learned and remembered. I've received the gift that the Father gave. Many of you have as well. But I'm prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Do you have that? In your heart, you're prone to wander. You feel the pull of the world. You want to go the wrong direction, and you know it's wrong. See, our Father knows that each and every saint fails to perfectly practice holy, righteous living. Your Father knows that about you. He knows that about me. We feel tempted to rebel against God and His word, and sometimes we give in to that temptation. We rebel. We disobey what we know is right. What keeps the saints then from losing their qualification to be the inheritors of a kingdom and all the things we've just talked about? The answer is this: the giver makes us grow in the gift. God keeps us. Let's talk about that. Let's see what Paul tells us about these things. See, in my ham radio qualification, that illustration, who earned the qualification? Me. I earned it. How did I earn it? Well, I took the class. I practiced Morse code. I took the exam and the speed test, and I lost the qualification the same way I earned it. It was up to me to earn it. I did it. And it was up to my efforts to keep it, and I failed. Paul tells the Colossian saints that the Father's gift to them and to us is different. God does not give us the gift just to get us into the door of the kingdom and then leave it up to us to keep the qualification. That's a works-based salvation with no hope at all. If it's up to you and me to keep our qualification, we are doomed. That is not the message of the scriptures. Instead, Paul demonstrates something here that we really need to grasp. Paul demonstrates the glorious and beautiful grace-based salvation of our Father. In prayer, relying on the relationship our Father gave us, Paul asked the Father to help saints grow in their relationship that they are given to the Father and to one another, that they would grow together in this. Every saint's prayer, so not just Paul's prayer here, but each of us as we pray, every saint's prayer demonstrates our reliance on the grace-based relationship that God gave us. You see, brothers and sisters, fellow saints, we don't pray to earn God's favor. God's favor is given. It's just given to us. Prayer is the opening of this extraordinary gift. It's the continued unwrapping of this extraordinary gift that we get to participate in, this relationship that God gave to us with Himself through Jesus. So let's examine a little bit of that prayer that Paul gives for the saints. Look at verse 9. He says, I have not ceased to pray for you. Now, there, Paul isn't being legalistic, and prayer isn't a legalistic requirement. It's not like Paul goes, oh, I've got to keep praying for the saints or else they're going to fail, or I've got to keep praying or else, you know. Prayer isn't a legalistic requirement. It's a demonstration of trust. Paul's never met these people, but he's asking the Father to look after them. And he knows the Father will. He's trusting the Father to look after the saints. Paul's statement is driven by the truth that saints are always in need of their Father. You and I are always in need of our Father. Our very existence depends on God, and we belong to the Father. Prayer for us and others, as we pray for ourselves, as we pray for others, demonstrates constant trust and dependence. Then Paul goes on, asking. He says, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Right knowledge of God is essential. If you're in a relationship with somebody, you need to know about them. So right knowledge is essential. We must know the right things about God in order to grow in spiritual wisdom and understanding. So that's what Paul's saying. Please help them to have right knowledge. And that right knowledge comes from the same source as the gift. It comes from God. Paul says his will, that they would know his will. Well, where do we learn his will? From the Bible. From what God says. From what God teaches in the Bible. That's where we learn his will. Let me just give you one example. There's a zillion. You go throughout the scriptures. But anyway, Jesus, his wilderness temptation, right? Facing a really tough challenge from a really terrible enemy. So in Matthew 4, when he's fighting this enemy, he quotes from Deuteronomy 8:3. It says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God's word is even more important than food. It sustains us. It keeps us. And learning his word and understanding his word better and growing in your understanding. Some of you are new Christians and you might not know a lot about the Bible. Others of us have been Christians for a long time. You might know a bit more about the Bible. You may have studied it like Michael and I and others here. But we're growing. We're all growing. We're all growing in it. We don't know it yet. We don't know everything. And God is infinite and eternal. How could you ever know the infinite and eternal with the little pea brain that I have, you know? It's like, huh. But let me go back to Jesus. He knew how to resist temptation by knowing God's word. And you could say he's God, but he's facing real temptation as a human, and he used the word of God to deal with it. Look at verse 10. Paul goes on, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. Walk in the right knowledge to please our Father. That's what Paul's saying. We need to walk in that right knowledge in order to please our Father. See, the Bible tells us that our Father God is perfectly holy and righteous, and it also tells us that we fall short. So the Bible's really true about who God is and who we are. Therefore, our pleasing walk, the only way we're going to be pleasing to the Father, is that we lean on the one who perfectly walked with the Father. That is, Jesus, King Jesus, our Savior. We lean on him. You cannot live the Christian life without Jesus. You need him. His Spirit lives with us. He's given us his Spirit. He is with us. You need to lean on the Spirit of God to be your counselor and teacher and guide. And using the Word of God with the Spirit of God, you can walk leaning on Jesus. We must lean on Jesus. So let's kind of go, we've learned three things already. So we're talking about walking in right knowledge, demonstrating trust in our Savior. And then Paul goes on, that he wants us to be bearing fruit in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God. You see, we won't bear fruit without being rooted in good soil, without being stuck in to the Word of God. So every saint's life, our physical life and our spiritual life, comes from God the Father. When a tree bears fruit, you know that it is the result of being in good soil, rooted in good soil. A tree that's cut down won't bear good fruit. So if you're cut off from the root, then you're not going to bear any fruit. You're going to die. So then we know that the life and the fruit of the tree comes from being rooted in good soil. Likewise, our life and fruitfulness springs from growing to know God the Father. Walk with Him. Brothers and sisters, walk with Him. Spend time in His Word. Spend time in prayer. Certainly individually, but you know, we've got things here like connect groups and prayer groups and other times where you can do these things together, individually and in groups. And then Paul goes on in verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. See, we are not going to shine as Christians without God's power in our lives. One thing we know from solar panels, if there's no sun, there's no electricity, right? No power. And Paul recognizes the same truth at work in the walk of a saint. If our Father doesn't shine His glory on us, we will have no power. Thankfully, Paul tells us in another letter that he wrote, in 2 Corinthians, he kind of links these things together so we can see it. For God, it says, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? He links it for us. I'm thankful for 2 Corinthians, especially when I'm preparing for this sermon. I was like, how is this linked? And then I read this and I was like, oh, Paul's linked it. Beautiful. Thanks, God. See, our Father shines on His saints in the face of Jesus. As we get to know Jesus, we get to see the Father. And as we understand that, He shines His light on us so that we can understand and walk in the right way, powered by God. Do you want to know God's glory? Then get to know Jesus. See, every one of us, each one of us here are going to face or do face or have faced incredible tests and trials. And those events, they can cloud our view and maybe even darken our view of Jesus. It's why we need to pray for one another. It's why Paul here is praying for the saints in Colossae. It's why you and I, as brothers and sisters, saints, need to uphold one another in prayer. A good time to pray, like Paul, is when we know another saint is feeling cut off. We know another saint is struggling and is down. Gather with them. Pray with them. Ad hoc or in a regular fashion, you know? Gather and ask our Father to lift our eyes to see Jesus' face once again. That's what we do together as the body of Christ. So again, I mentioned it. We have connect groups. They're going to start back up. Join a connect group. In your connect group, pray for one another. We have a women's prayer group. We don't have a men's prayer group yet. So men, pick up your socks. We elders pray for you. Deacons pray for you. We need to pray more for each other. Because Paul goes on in this last little phrase that we're going to look at this morning. He says that we do this for all endurance and patience with joy. See, life with our God is a joy. Life with our God is a joy. Now, likely you've heard that Reformed and Presbyterian saints are the frozen chosen. You've probably heard that somewhere. Now, sometimes that's an unfair characterization, I think. But you may know someone, or you may be someone, who tends to carry their joy like a 30-kilogram block of ice, you know, just kind of dragging it behind you. Everything is hard. Nothing happens soon enough. And their journey as a saint appears to grow long and slow and sour. Like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, you know, just everything's dragging. Now, perhaps Paul ran into saints like that. And that's why he adds on that little phrase, with joy. Or maybe he felt like that at times. See, after he endured beatings, after he was left for dead, or maybe even dead, he had death threats, he was in prison on multiple occasions. We studied it a few weeks ago, you know, more than nine times in Acts, he had really tough times. So who wouldn't find it hard to be joyful going through those kind of things? Once again, though, knowing we each have tests, knowing we each have trials, knowing we each have temptations, the saints need to gather together and ask our Father to help every saint to be joyful, to endure, and walk patiently with God. Fellow saints, God our Father gave us a relationship. He rescued us, and he makes us citizens in the kingdom of his beloved Son, Jesus. But the gift doesn't stop there. Our relationship with the infinite, holy, eternal God takes this life and all of eternity to unwrap, to discover, to plummet the depths of the love of God for us. At every time, in any place we are, saints, you can speak to your Father. Thank him for Jesus. Trust God's gift to enable you to walk, to grow, to bear fruit, to shine, to live a life of joyful endurance and patience. And pray for one another without ceasing. And friend, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, maybe you're a little one, maybe you're a young child, and you hear these things and you think, what? What's going on? I've never heard this before. If this gift sounds incredible to you and you want to learn more, speak to one of the saints around you, or to one of the elders that you saw up front today. We'd love to tell you about Jesus. Our Heavenly Father offers his Son to all who receive him. Let's pray. Lord, we read in your word in John 1, but to all who receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Lord, every one of us who are saints here now, give you thanks. We praise you for Jesus, for making us children of God, sons of God. But Lord, I also do want to pray for those who hear this message and don't know you yet. Please, Lord, open their eyes. Help them to receive this gift. Help them to be qualified to receive the inheritance of the saints in light. Lord, we ask these things knowing that all of this is by your grace and mercy. We thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for the Spirit's work in our hearts even now. In his name we pray. Amen.